Turn your Bibles with me to to Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Jamie, if you'll mute everything else besides. All right, great. Okay, very good. Philippians chapter 1. We're going to read the first 11 verses of Philippians chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible, you can look in the middle of our bulletin and you'll see the passage that we're going to be going over. If you would like a Bible, we have brand new Bibles that we like to give away and we would be thrilled to give you one. So please feel free to ask me for one and we will get you those. That's one thing that we take great joy in doing is giving out God's Word. So please let us know if you need one, okay? But for now, let's look at verse 1 of Philippians chapter 1 and read what the word of the Lord has to say to us this morning. It says, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness, how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and in all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Christ Jesus, to the glory and praise of God. Let's pray. Father, I pray that your will would be done in our lives this morning. I pray that you would speak to our hearts through your word. I pray that your Holy Spirit would confirm the truths that are in this passage of Scripture this morning to us, that we might apply them to our lives. I pray that you would help us to understand what true Christian fellowship is and what it means to have fellowship in the body of believers. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As we have been going through the five purposes of the church, we realized that the first one we talked about was evangelism, and then we talked about worship, then we talked about ministry. Today we are going to talk about fellowship. One of the purposes of the church, of the New Testament church, is fellowship. We know that was a big part of the New Testament church. When they got together, they broke bread together, they talked together, they shared their lives together. And I want us to understand that God wants us as people, as believers in Jesus, to do this fellowshipping with other believers on a regular basis. I believe that's why God said, don't forsake the gathering of yourselves together when he was talking to the church in the book of Hebrews. And so it's important that we fellowship together. Now, I want us to understand what fellowship is not. Christian fellowship is not socializing. It's not just socializing. You know, I can go over to your house and we can watch a football game and just talk about any old thing that's going on in our world. And that's socializing, okay? We understand that. But fellowship is different. Christian fellowship is different than just socializing. Christian fellowship is not gossip. It's not just getting around and talking about everybody else in the church or around town, okay? Matter of fact, it's the opposite of that. We shouldn't be talking about everybody else and gossiping with everybody else. Now, what Christian fellowship is, though, It is sharing our lives together as we focus on our faith in Jesus Christ. Christian fellowship is sharing our lives together as we focus on our faith in Jesus Christ. That's what true Christian fellowship is all about. That's what we're going to see here in this passage. We're going to see the Apostle Paul, a man who loved these people in Philippi, who loved fellowshipping with them, who loved sharing his faith in Jesus Christ with them, talk to them in an affectionate way, in a way that shows his love and compassion for them, in a way that shows that he longs to fellowship with them. Okay? And that's what I want us to understand. And I want us to see this great purpose of the church in true Christian fellowship. Look at verse 3 again. It said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy. Now, the first thing I want us to understand is true Christian fellowship will cause us to glorify God. You know, being with other believers should bring you joy. You understand that? Being with other believers in Jesus Christ should bring you joy. I remember when I first became a Christian, how even if we were just putting a sign together for the church when we first got started, when I first became a Christian, even if we were just putting a sign together for the church, I loved being around believers. And I loved being, and the joy that it gave me. It was great to feel that joy because I knew that they loved Jesus Christ and I loved Jesus Christ. And it brought me great joy just to be around other believers. It still does. I love coming to church because I'm with you, with other believers that love Jesus Christ. It's different than just going to a ball game. It's different than just going to a restaurant or something like that. Why? Because we're sharing our lives in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what makes the difference. That's what brings me joy. That's what should bring you joy. You know, if you don't gain any joy from coming to church and being around other believers, you may want to ask yourself, am I truly a believer? Am I really right with the Lord? You may be a believer, but you may not be right with God because when you are around other believers, it should bring you joy. It shouldn't be a drudgery for you to be around other believers. It shouldn't be something that you force yourself to do. Now, we understand that there's days when you have to force yourself to come to church. But once you get here and you're around other believers and you're around other people that love the Lord, it should bring you a sense of joy. It really should. And I hope we'll understand that. Paul regarded the piety of his Christian brothers as a token of God's favor to him. Paul realized that good Christian fellowship is a blessing from God. And one of the reasons it's a blessing from God is it makes us grateful to God and others. Notice it says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. You know, it is such a blessing to be around other believers and see how God is working in their lives. I was at a conference last week, a church planting conference, and I got to tell you, I'm not big on conferences. They're kind of boring to me. You know, it's just a kind of a drudgery for me to sit in a conference. And I'm sure if any of you have sitting in any kind of conference, it's kind of boring, right? It's just, you know, you're listening to the guy say his spiel about whatever he wants to say. And then, you know, even though it's about church planting, I pretty much heard about all there is to hear when it comes to church planting. So it was kind of boring for me. But I was still grateful for that conference. And let me tell you why. There was about 10 of us around a table. And we had a time where we just shared our thoughts and our lives and our testimonies and what God was doing in our lives. That was a tremendous blessing to me. Because I saw guys that were going through the same exact stuff that I was, and how God was working in their lives. And because I saw that God was working in their lives through all these problems that they were having, I was encouraged knowing that God can work all these things out in my life too. And it was great. It was a great blessing. I was grateful to God. After the conference was done, you know, they have you do a survey and say, what was it that you were grateful for? Or what was it that you liked the most about the conference? And of course, the thing that I wrote down was the fellowship with the other church planters. Because that was what gave me the greatest joy. My joy came from sharing my life with them and my experience in the Lord with them, and them sharing their experience in the Lord with me. You see, that's what true Christian fellowship is. And that can bring us great joy and gratefulness. You know, it was fun the other night when we had our dessert auction. I loved that. We were able to have a good time and raise some money for missions. And everybody was laughing and we were able to just have a great time. Why? Because number one, we had the Spirit of the Lord among us, right? The Bible says that where two or more of you are gathered, there am I in the midst of you. And you know what? When we're gathered together, I feel the Spirit of the Lord working. I feel Him, and it gives me great joy. But not only that, we're able to share our love for one another, and it showed. Even though we were bidding against each other for the pies and the cakes, and it got kind of heated with that carrot cake that Dave made, and you know, but even though that was happening, we were still having fun. It was a great joy. It really was. I loved it, and that is the kind of thing that we ought to understand is vital to the Christian life and vital to the church, and it is a purpose for the church. For us to fellowship together, it brings great joy, and it's something that we ought to be grateful for. You know, it's amazing to me how many times the Apostle Paul expresses his gratefulness to God for others. Pretty much every epistle that he wrote in the New Testament, we see him start off thanking God for the people that he was able to be around. Why is that? Because the Apostle Paul recognized the value of being around other believers. And I think that's something that we need to keep in mind. There is great value in being around other believers. And so let's be willing to be around other believers and experience the joy that comes from being in the fellowship with other believers. Now, when we are involved in true Christian fellowship, it will make us grateful to God and give us much joy. And both of these things will bring glory to God. Now look at verse 5. Verse 5 says, "For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now." Now, true Christian fellowship involves a constant commitment to the gospel. Notice it says, from the first day until now. I want you to understand something. The Philippians were faithful to adhere to the commandments of the gospel. They had the same dedication and zeal they had from the very beginning of their relationship with the Lord, even until now. And I want you to understand that if your true Christian fellowship involves a degree of faithfulness, a degree of faithfulness. If we are going to experience the blessing of true Christian fellowship, we must be faithful in our walk with Christ. Now, your relationship with the Lord is like any relationship, okay? So, my relationship with my wife. Suppose I only said something to my wife like once a week or every once in a while, maybe once a month, I said, oh, hi, how you doing? You know, what do you think she would say about that? She'd be like, hey, this is no relationship. I'm not getting any fellowship with her. When I came home this week, she was so excited to see me. And instead of me, you know, saying, okay, I want to spend some time with you right away, I said, well, let me put my stuff away. And, you know, I got some things to do. And I wasn't thinking, hey, I need to spend some time with her. Well, anyways, you know, she once I decided it was time for me to spend some time with her, she says, oh, you got time for me now? Right? Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And so there's that thing about fellowship that requires us to have a commitment or a dedication to our relationship with God and with others. Now, think about it. If I only show up to fellowship with you guys like once a month, maybe every few months I come, I'm bouncing in, bouncing out, saying hi, and that's about it. Am I ever really going to establish a good bond of fellowship with you guys? Of course not. It's not going to work. And that goes with anything. You could be I heard of these people that they're in these Toast clubs where they go to learn how to be good toasters or make a speech for a toast. They actually have these. I couldn't believe it. But anyways, even if you were part of something like that, and you only showed up every once in a while, but everybody else was there all the time, and they were getting to know each other and getting to really bond together, but you showed up every once in a while, would you have the same closeness with those folks as the people that were there all the time, showing up all the time? Of course not. Of course not. But what I say all that to say this. God wants you. God wants you to have this close experience with other believers. He wants you to be in fellowship with other believers, have a close bond with them, so that you can share your lives with them, and so that they can share their lives with you, and you can experience the joy that comes from that. But it takes a degree of faithfulness to do that. And that faithfulness is first to the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did when he died on the cross for your sins. You must realize something, that all that we do in the church revolves around one event. And that one event was the day that Jesus Christ gave his life on the cross so that we could have our sins forgiven and so that we could have a pathway to heaven. That is the one event that we must all surround ourselves around and focus on. And so trusting in Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection for the forgiveness of your sins is the very first thing that you must be committed to, faithful to, surrendered to. The fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you and loved you so much that he would forgive you of your sins, cleanse you from all unrighteousness, and come into your heart and life and be your Savior. That is the thing that we must dedicate ourselves to and focus on first of all. And then the other commandments of the gospel become something that we're willing to be faithful to. When you experience the peace and joy that comes from having your sins forgiven and knowing that you are on your way to heaven, then the other commandments like forsake not the gathering of yourselves together becomes a wonderful joy. And also loving others like Christ loved you becomes something that's not a drudgery, but something that God gives you the grace to do. And that's what we want you to understand. That's what God wants you to understand. If we are going to experience the blessings of true Christian fellowship, we must be faithful in our walk with Christ. When we adhere to what He wants us to, I promise you, you're going to experience real Christian fellowship. Now look at verse 7 at 6. It says, "Being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, insomuch as both in my chains and in the defense of the confirmation of the gospel, you are partakers with me of this grace." Now, Paul is writing this letter to the Philippians while he is in jail. He's actually in jail in Rome at this point. And he is writing to these folks saying, even though I can't be with you right now, I know because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life that He is going to help you live for Him. You are going to have a life that is characterized by following Him. You see, true Christian fellowship gives us confidence and security in the work that Christ is doing in our lives. I want you to understand something, that if you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, God has poured His grace upon you so that you can live for Him. Paul believed in the perseverance of the believer and had a full confidence because of what he said in verse 5, that these folks were believers and that Jesus would continue and finish the work that He was doing in their hearts. Not only was he expressing his confidence in the work of Christ, but he was also explaining how secure that made him feel in his time of bondage. Why? Because being around true Christians will build our faith because we see what He is doing in others' lives. Now, the Apostle Paul was saying here, I am so thankful to God for you guys, and it is bringing me great joy to see how God is working in your life, and I am confident of the Savior that I follow because of how I see Him working in your life, how He is helping you to persevere in spite of the difficulties that you are facing. And the Philippians were facing some real problems. They were facing some real struggles in their lives, just like many of us have in our past, and even worse at times. But he was confident, he was joyful, because he saw how God was working in their lives in spite of these problems. You know, the wonderful thing about true Christian fellowship is how it can build you up and strengthen you inside when you see what God is doing in others. At this conference that I was at last week, I got to know a guy by the name of Brian. And Brian, his wife, Brian's only 38 years old, and his wife has stage 4 cancer, and it doesn't look like she's going to make it. It does not look like she's going to make it. Well, here is a man who is working hard, who loves the Lord, and who is trying his best to serve God, and he is still serving the Lord and doing what God wants him to do in spite of this tragedy in his life. How in the world can that be? I'll tell you how it can be. Because God, by His grace, is helping that man overcome in spite of the circumstances that he is facing. And when I see someone like that living for the Lord in spite of hard circumstances, it builds my faith. It builds my faith and makes me feel good about the Lord that I serve. When someone gives a testimony that I relate to, and I see how God is dealing with them and see how God is working in their life, it makes me realize that the same God is in my life and He can do for me what he has done for that person. And we need to understand that. If we want the security and confidence that comes with being a believer, we need to be around true Christian fellowship. Many times Christians, when they have problems or experience difficulties in their life, they get away from the church, the body of believers, instead of sticking with the body of believers. And that leads to only more depression and heartache and pain in their lives, when they ought to be around the body of believers so that they can gain encouragement from the body of believers. Okay? Now, if we want the security and confidence that comes with being a believer, we need to be around true Christian fellowship. Now look at verse 8. One final point, and I'm done. For God is my witness, how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in the knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Finally, true Christian fellowship involves helping others become fruitful Christians. True Christian fellowship involves helping others become fruitful Christians. Now, Paul's desire in his fellowship with the Philippians was to see them grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that should be what the goal of our fellowship. One of the goals of our fellowship together should be that we encourage one another to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what Paul wanted to see in the lives of the Philippians and everyone that he came in fellowship with. So as we seek fellowship with other Christians, one of our goals in that relationship should be to see them grow in the Lord. You know, when I am around other believers, I try to be mindful of the fact that God may want to use me to help them and encourage them in their walk with the Lord. And this is done by love. Notice what it says in verse 9. It says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and in all discernment." So, I want to practice exhorting others in the Lord, encouraging others in the Lord, and it must be done through love, okay? So that means if someone comes to me and says, you know, I'm having difficulty with knowing how to deal with my spouse. So I say, well, that's because you're stupid, right? Is that dealing with that person in love? You know, is that fellowshipping with that person in love? Of course not. Okay? So my actions and my attitudes towards other believers should be controlled by the love of Jesus Christ. Okay? So when I am interacting with you, with others, it should be controlled by my love, by the love of Jesus Christ, okay? And so, not only that, so it should be done with love, and it shouldn't be done negativity, okay, and abrasiveness. So, and I should do it with discernment and knowledge, my knowledge of what God wants, my discernment of what God tells me is right and wrong. And so we need to be aware of the fact that God wants us to encourage others in the Lord. Maybe you read a passage of Scripture that spoke to your heart and you think it'll help someone else that you are in fellowship with. Share that with them, okay? Share that verse with them. Use that to encourage them. Maybe you see someone who's down and they just need someone to listen to them. Ask them, hey, what's up? Let me talk with you or talk with me about what may be going on in your life. Share your life with them so that you can help them in their walk with the Lord. Because this is the purpose of the church. We all have struggles in life. We all have times where we need someone to lift us up when we're down. And when we have a body of believers that recognizes that that is one of the purposes we have as a church, when you come into this congregation and you are down, you can look to someone to help you and lift you up. That is what we want to be as a church. We want to be a church where believers can come and be exhorted in the Lord and helped, and you can gain joy from that, and you can be grateful for that. And we want to be a part of something like that. And that will help us in our faithfulness as well. So, with that said, let's fulfill our purpose as a church to fellowship with each other, to share our lives with each other, to encourage each other in the Lord. And as we do that, we will be fulfilling God's will for our church. Let's pray.